When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome back, top of the hour here on Sports Grid, 1 o'clock Eastern, 12 Central. I'm Craig Mish, along with George Kurtz. This is Fantasy Sports Today. Of course, the biggest story in sports today is the official retirement of none other than Tom Brady. After playing for decades in the NFL with the New England Patriots, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 7 Super Bowls, 5 most valuable players, he makes it official on Instagram and on Twitter that this is the end of the line. Some attention is being paid today specifically to no mention of the New England Patriots. George says it stinks. I'm a conspiracy theorist. I think that he has yet to do something with the Patriots. I expect a Super Bowl commercial thanking the Patriots probably next Sunday. That is my guess. I could be wrong about that. But when somebody like this retires, George, the natural point of conversation moves over to the greatest of all time, or as the kids call it, the GOATs. And living legends, players who are the GOATs all time in sports, is not an easy thing to, you know, sort of quantify. I would put, I don't know about you, I'll pivot over to you, but, you know, when now with Brady gone, I don't think there are any in the NFL. Rodgers is on a list of some kind, but I don't really have him at the top. There's no question LeBron James still being active in the NFL is at the top. There's no question, even though he doesn't have maybe the popularity in the sport that you love so much, that Alex Ovechkin has to be greatest of all time conversation in terms of the NHL. Maybe not as popular, but he is in there. And then it's like, as I move over to the other sports, including the ones you and I love in baseball, like, I don't know, like, I guess Mike Trout, Albert Pujols, but it's sort of stretching it a little bit, I think, to get to that point. Trout for sure, but he's still got a long way to go. And there would be some that would contend Pujols is not on that list, although I kind of think he is. Miguel Cabrera, maybe another one there. So living legends for you, still going at it. Who do you got?
Living legends still playing here. Now you're right. We go start in baseball. Mike Trout is probably as close to Mickey Mantle as you and I are going to see. I never saw Mantle play, but I would think he's as close to that. Not a switch hitter, I get it, but that's where I would go with there. There are some players that might eclipse him, but they're too young to be put in this category right now. So, and pitching, let's face it, the way pitches are nowadays, the way they're so protected, there are no pitches that I really equate here. Because they'll come out the 6 innings. Max Scherzer, great pitch, but I can't equate him to an all-time legend. I just can't. You know, Clayton Kershaw would be the same kind of thing here. Although I guess they're in the conversation. NHL, Alex Ovechkin is the greatest goal scorer ever in the NHL. That's already over. So, yeah, he is a living legend. Is he a great player, all-around player? I probably, you know, Wayne Gretzky was certainly better, Mario Lemieux. There might be other players in today's game that are better overall players. But Alex Ovechkin, for what he can do, I mean, you look at goalies back in the day, 70s, 80s, they wore no equipment. Of course you were going to score goals. Today's goalies are the Michelin man. There's nothing to shoot at there. What Alex Ovechkin can do is just fantastic in the NHL. And you go to baseball. Okay, you know, baseball is always treated differently, especially with the what we just happened with the Hall of Fame, right? Well, who gets in it all? Can't let in Bonds. Can't let in this guy and that guy with steroids. Baseball always gets treated differently. So it's that. And football, doesn't, right? I think the only difference is football, it's a physical sport. We don't really mind them doing it. It's physical. They get hit all the time. And I kind of understand that, you know, but if I was going to go living legend in football, you're right. It is tougher. I mean,
it's tough.
We don't really consider Adrian Peterson, right? Because he's really retired here, but he could be that guy really close to the rushing record, but he's had some problems in his social life there. Receivers. It's tough. It's tough. I probably would, if you forced me to go, I probably would have to go with Aaron Rodgers, but you're right. I don't feel the same thing.
Yeah.
The same way about Tom Brady, about Peyton Manning. Don't feel the same way about Rodgers.
Yeah. And Rodgers would get 100% of Hall of Fame votes, but you know, I feel like we got to go above that to get to that point with Brady as we welcome in our radio audience here to Sports Grid. Craig Mish, George Kurtz here on Sports Grid Radio on Fantasy Sports Today. Interesting conversation, living legends that are left in professional sports. Floyd Mayweather in boxing, you know, I mean, that's, you say what you want, the guy's still boxing, sort of, like
Tiger Woods.
Even if you like him or not, he is a legend of the sport. He's one of the best, if not the best of all time. Okay, let's take a look real quick at our headlines, our other headlines here on the show. Brady's, of course, the big story for today. We got the Nets and Suns tonight, and should be a good matchup, no question. Two top 20 teams playing in Kansas and Iowa State in college basketball. In Major League Baseball, we got the players and the owners meeting, according to ESPN, today. We'll see how that pans out. And George, D'Amico Ryans has done such a phenomenal job with the 49ers defense. Since about the middle of the season, I think they have the best defense, if I'm not mistaken, in the NFL. So he'll get some head coaching possibilities. And this is the second defensive coordinator for the 49ers to make the rounds as a possible head coach, with Robert Saleh, of course, getting hired by the Jets.
Yeah, Ryan's actually turned down a second interview with the Minnesota Vikings. He said it wasn't right for his family at this time. Now, does that mean he's not going to go interview with anybody? Or does he want to go to Minnesota, the north part of the country? I don't know that. He said he wants to continue working with Shannon. He needs more seasoning. My words, not his, which is fine. But, man, if you got a chance to be a head coach, one of 32 jobs, I think you take it. You know, I don't think you're turning that down. What if next year your defense is terrible? It's a sieve, and it's giving you 34 points a game. Take the job when you got the chance. But, hey, if my wife and kids don't want to go up north, you know, happy wife, happy life. I kind of get it.
Yeah, that's what it's always about, as we've both learned, George, no question. All right, we'll take a break. Coming back, it's time for us to look at tonight's NBA DFS slate. We'll bring in Brett Levy for his selections. Of course, we got Fantasy and Reality, the Sports Grid 60, and a whole lot more. We're just getting started in the second hour of the show. So stick with us here on Sports Grid. This is Fantasy Sports Today. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. Seven games tonight in the NBA. We're going to preview some of them, of course, and take a look against the spread in some other spots. But no doubt, it's time to get out your FanDuel app and open it up, because we're going to help you set a lineup here on the show. Craig Mish will bring in our producer, Brett Levy, for a little NBA preview tonight. Brett, we got seven games on the schedule. I think that most people, and I want your opinion on the game at the end of this segment, but I think most people will be most interested in, I believe the game is on TNT tonight, between Brooklyn and Phoenix. So I'm curious, is that like the main game you think for you on this late tonight that people will be looking toward?
Yeah, Craig, I think a lot of people will have their eyes on that one. Hopefully Jokic plays tonight for the Denver Nuggets against Minnesota. Him and Karl Anthony Towns would be a fun matchup to watch. Anthony Edwards, always fun, both on the court and in press conferences, Craig. And yeah, you said it best. I think Suns-Nets is the game to watch tonight. No Kevin Durant. Kyrie Irving will be active tonight because it's a road game, Craig. James Harden is a game-time decision right now, so we do have to keep our eyes on that. But the Suns might be the team to beat in the West. For my money right now, Craig, they'd be the only team I would touch in the West. So we'll see what happens at the deadline, if any of these other teams can make any moves. But right now, best team in the West versus possibly the best team in the East. Should be a fun game.
Yeah, Phoenix with 40 wins already. We haven't even gotten to February as we did today here on the show. All right, so let's go ahead and build a FanDuel lineup tonight over in DFS, and I'll give out the names and the salaries, Brett, and then you can give us the explanation as to why that we're using these players tonight. First of all, we have the guards. We'll start off with Jalen Suggs. He is at 6,100 tonight on FanDuel. We also have Frank Jackson at 4,200. So there is the discounted price there that we're going. Franz Wagner at 5,900. And then Gary Trent Jr. at 7,200. All right, Brett, so break it down. The point guards and shooting guards in your lineup tonight.
Yeah, so Jalen Suggs and Franz Wagner going up against the Bulls tonight. I just think, Craig, this is going to be a very fast-paced game. So I think lots of scoring opportunities all across the board in this game. Up and down, frantic pace is what I'm expecting. Frank Jackson led the Pistons in scoring off the bench in his last game. Look, I'm just hoping he can build on it, Craig, at $4,200. You mentioned I'm not spending a lot of money on them, on him. So if he disappoints, won't be the best use of money, but allows me to spend up at other positions where I did in the forwards, Craig. And then Gary Trent Jr., if he hasn't been the best Raptor all year because maybe OG Anunoby has been the best Raptor, he's been the second best. Biggest surprise for them, I think. They've got to be thrilled with their return. They traded Norman Powell at the deadline for him last year. You know, obviously, the Blazers would look very different with a guy like Gary Trent, who scored over 30 points in his last game, Craig. So Gary Trent continuing to be the leading scoring option in the Raptors backcourt. I think he has a big game tonight against Miami. No Kyle Lowry tonight for Miami, Greg. Right. So we can look at Gabe Vincent as well, priced pretty cheap at $5,000. Some people might want to try and sneak him in there as well.
Yeah, Raptors minus 2.5 tonight at home. The Heat coming off a blowout loss to the Boston Celtics last night. All right, let's take a look at the small forward, power forward, and center positions in a potential lineup. Here are some potential options for you. We have Sadiq Bey at 6,000. New All-Star Andrew Wiggins is at 7,000 at the small forward position. Bam Adebayo in that game against the Toronto Raptors, he's priced at 8,200. We have Aaron Gordon at 6,600, and we have Nikola Vucevic at 8,700. So Vucevic is the big spend tonight for you, Brett, along with Adebayo, and then you're piecing things together a little bit with Wiggins, Gordon, and Sadiq Bey. Let's break it down.
Yeah, so Vucevic, Craig, it's something I guess you can call a little bit of a revenge matchup going up against the Orlando Magic, the team he used to play for. I just think he's the best big on the court tonight. And he's probably going to lead the Magic and the Bulls in scoring would be my guess. Aaron Gordon in the Nuggets Minnesota game. Aaron Gordon playing a lot of four for Denver. I typically think Minnesota's fours are a little weak, Craig. So I think Aaron Gordon can attack there, use some of his athleticism, size, skill, all of it tonight against the Minnesota Timberwolves. Bam Adebayo, Craig, is just one of my favorite players, and I don't really think there are many matchups where he doesn't have an advantage. Tonight against Toronto, Toronto's not as big. Like, I know they play big position-wise with Precious Achiuwa, but he's only like 6'8". Kem Birch is under 7 feet. He starts at center a lot. Chris Boucher, great shot blocker, but again, under 7 feet tall. So I think Bam's size and his passing ability leads to a good play here. And then look, Craig, Sadiq Bey, Andrew Wiggins going to play big minutes tonight. I think a lot of people are going to try and jam in pieces from Milwaukee, from Brooklyn, from Phoenix. And I'm just going to go turn and take the Golden State San Antonio game. I'm going to go turn and take the Detroit Pistons New Orleans Pelicans game. And maybe with some less eyeballs, there will be some lower roster percentages on these players. And again, the name of the game is to have guys on the court that are getting shots, that are getting the ball in their hand, fighting for rebounds. So Sadiq Bey and Andrew Wiggins both starting, both going to play about 30 minutes tonight is the hope.
All right, well, we'll see how the lineups pan out. Now let's go over real quick to the game tonight, the marquee game. Get your opinion here, just one game against the spread. Brooklyn tonight, and of course, I mean, Harden playing or not playing, Brett, I guess that's got to be a huge part as to how you would choose if you wanted to bet this game tonight. But Brooklyn and Phoenix tonight, I mean, I don't know how you can fade Phoenix if they're on pace to win like 70 games. So it's really hard to do. But, you know, the other night, Brooklyn, I believe, without Harden, if I'm not mistaken, they were huge underdogs. They ended up coming real close and covering. What about tonight?
Yeah, I mean, Brooklyn's got a lot of young talent, Craig, that no one thinks they're a horrible, horrible team or anything like that. They're just a little beat up. Patty Mills, obviously a very capable scorer, probably coming off the bench tonight. Cam Thomas, an elite young player in this league, you know, 2 years ago was a top high school prospect playing on Team USA over the summer, right? So he's been in big games, and Kessler Edwards had a lot of experience at Pepperdine, and Sharp from UNC. So these are kids that have played minutes over the last few years. They've been relied upon in heavier roles. Now, it's been at a lower level, but you still develop skills and decision-making and understanding how to read a defense at these levels. So nothing that they're seeing should be so surprising to these guys. Obviously, you know, maybe a new look here or there. Maybe they haven't been defended a certain way before. But I'm not shocked the Nets are able to stay competitive with guys who, you know, excelled in college, were thought of as top prospects. And then they still every now and then get Kyrie Irving out there or James Harden helping carry some of the scoring load and some of the passing, freeing up some of these guys for easier shots. So I would personally be on Phoenix tonight, Craig, having said all that about nice stuff about the Nets. I'm with you. I think Phoenix, it has been really amazing this year. It's really been a three-year kind of run since the bubble. They didn't lose a game in the bubble, Craig. Went on to the NBA championship last year. If they can keep building on it like it looks like they are, Phoenix could be a scary team to watch. It seems like Chris Paul was the absolute right addition for that roster.
Yeah, perfect spot for him for sure. All right, Brett, as always, thanks so much. Great stuff from you. We'll check back in a little bit later for some fantasy or reality. But up next, it's time for our weekly look at some dynasty football, and we'll talk about some players that could be on the sell category. So we'll hit on that next right here on Sports Grid on Fantasy Sports Today. Make sure you stay with us. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, noon to 2 Eastern. Our show continues after this quick timeout. Stay on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Great to be with you here on this Tuesday. It is February 1st, 2022. And if you were ever thinking about following some new folks over on social media because it's a new month in the new year, well, here's my advice. Follow us at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV. Our social media team is posting, feels like 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm seeing notifications. Sports Grid's posting. Sports Grid TV is posting news, notes, information, picks against the spread. All kinds of funny videos, too. So make sure you are following us there and do it now, if you don't mind. Follow us at SportsGrid, at SportsGrid TV. All right, George is back with us here. We're going to talk some Dynasty Fantasy Football. Both of us, George and I, both play in Dynasty Football Leagues, Keeper Leagues, I guess, as some people would call them. I suppose there's a small difference in the terminology of that. And we're going to talk about some potential sell candidates, George, here. So let's start off with the quarterback position. And, you know, certainly these can be players that you would sell, or maybe you would disagree. I don't know. But Russell Wilson, who, of course, missed several games last year due to a hand injury, came back. And it feels like it took him a while to get back to the guy that we used to see. The last two or three games of the season, he really put it together. And then those people in dynasty leagues who used a first-round dynasty rookie pick on Tua Tagovailoa have to be asking themselves the question, who's the head coach? What's the surrounding cast? Is now the time to sell on Tua, George? Russell Wilson and Tua.
Yeah, I raised my hand on that because guess what? Guess who spent the first round dynasty league pick on Tua? And that'd be this guy. I did it whenever year he came out. Now, that's the league I had Derek Carr as my starter before Carr really sort of took off there. So I'm not really hurting for a quarterback, but I took Tua. sell candidate. My problem is this. Let's just say I want to sell Tua. What am I selling him for? No one's going to offer me anything for Tua. Nobody. And this, this league I'm talking about is a 16-team league. Now, Dynasty League, so, people could use quarterbacks, but no one's giving me anything for Tua. You know, nothing that I would think about selling him for. And I know that going in here. Russell Wilson is a different story here. Now, you're right. He probably came back too early from the injury, right? He had a pin in his finger here. That sounds awful, by the way. I don't know if you remember Steve DeBerg back in the day where he played with a pin in his finger on his – oh, that was terrible. He had it hanging – oh, I can't even imagine how that works, taking a hand. I can't even imagine. And that's back in the day where you could hit the quarterback, by the way.
Right.
So different times here. So Russell Wilson, you said it, and I agree. He played much better at the end. I think he was back to being the Russell Wilson. If you were to sell him, trade him, well, you're probably worried, well, where is he going to end up, right? Is he going to stay in Seattle with Lockett, with Metcalf? Or is he going to get traded and you don't know what his weapons are going to be? Now, let's face it, odds are if he gets traded, it may not be to a team with good weapons, right? Sure. So you don't know. You're gambling a couple of times here. Now, if you get the right price for Wilson, someone wants to pay you a heavy price for him because they think he's going to go to, I don't know, Pittsburgh, who does have good receiving weapons, you know, okay, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it because I think Russell Wilson, you can get a fair price for. Tua, I don't. If you're trading Tua, you're just dumping him and moving on for anything you can get here. What are you going to get? A fourth-round pick in a a rookie draft, that's nothing. Nothing valuable there. I don't see where Tua brings you back anything that's worth not holding on to him and seeing if maybe he develops.
Yeah, look, it's been a couple years. We saw some really good signs, but a third year in a row with a new offensive system, it looks like, for Tua in 2022. All right, at running back, it's not a question of if you want to sell, it's what can you get for a few of these players, that's for sure. Saquon Barkley, I don't even know what the number is. We use the dollar system usually. Can you get 20 cents on the dollar? Can you get 30 cents on the dollar for Barkley? Can you get 40 cents on the dollar for Ezekiel Elliott? I don't know that you can. Now, Jonathan Taylor, clearly a different situation. Connor, it will depend on where he ends up. And then look, Patterson definitely slowed down at the end of the season. So there's a case to be made that it's not completely over for him just because the last five or six games he didn't run all that well. But, George, the tough conversation is with Barkley and Elliott because there's just really not that you can – I don't think that you can get half of what you would expect for them, and so you may be better off just keeping them.
Yeah, especially running backs are tougher because there just aren't enough to go around. You're in a 12-team rookie we're talking dynasty. Like you're in a 12-team dynasty league. The first three, four picks are always running backs. Always, because we all need them. We're desperate for them. All right? I'm in sort of that the one dynasty league that I really pay attention to anyway. I haven't had a top five pick or top six pick in forever. All right? And my running backs are deplorable. And I know it. I've had to trade for Josh Jacobs, which is a big addition. I was thrilled to get him last year. All right? Think about where Josh Jacobs was before the season began. And I was thrilled to get him because I need a running back that badly. I have Jacobs. I have Gordon. Guys like that, and I can't get better running backs because I'm never at the top of the draft, so it's hard. So to trade a running back, I mean, Barkley, NFL-wise, I don't know what more he has to offer here. I think the injuries are taking their toll here, but Giants aren't a great offensive team. I do think DeBoer is going to turn this team around, but I don't know if Barkley's going to be with it. I don't know if it matters here. So if you could trade him for somebody who believes, a Giant fan, fine. If you can't, once again, you're probably forced to keep him. Elliott's done. I don't care about the PCL injury. He's done. But his fantasy value is, including next year, touchdowns. I think he'll get you your touchdowns. That's about all he's going to get. We saw at the end of the year, he was 40 to 50 yards rushing, a catch here, a catch there, and a touchdown. You needed that touchdown to salvage your fantasy day. Do I think he can get that next year? I do. But Tony Pollard is going to take over a big part of this rushing load. And Ezekiel Elliott will be with the Cowboys next year. They can't get out from underneath that contract until after next year, when the cap hits a little light there. So they'll split some time, but Pollard has to get more touches next year. Taylor's your number one pick. At least I think in my mind, he's your number one pick next year. So you're thrilled to get him. Mm-hmm. Patterson, ever since he hurt that ankle, he wasn't the same player. He wasn't the same player after the high ankle sprain. Maybe he came back a little early. Wasn't that guy again. Good luck figuring it out and how he's going to be used next year and how that goes. And Connie, you already said it. What teams he end up on? Sure. Is he going to be a touchdown guy again? I didn't have him in any league last year. There was one guy who annoyed me more than any other. It was Connor. Just every week he was at least one touchdown, maybe two. And so the guy was always going up against him. Very angry about James Connor.
Yeah, 18 touchdowns for James Conner last year. I still look at that number and don't believe it happened, but it did. All right, so at wide receiver, this is a much more difficult proposition because, of course, you have Davante Adams, and we certainly don't know what the future holds for Rodgers. So this is a huge boom or bust risk if a league allows you to make a deal now. Odell Beckham Jr. will play in the Super Bowl. So in terms of selling now, I ain't doing it. I got to let this guy play in the Super Bowl and make sure he don't get hurt and miss a year. I mean, that's, I've seen this before, George, so I'll wait on him. Same with Tyler Boyd, N'Keal Harry. I mean, could you get anything for him? And then Marvin Jones is going to be probably back, you know, probably I would say back on the market again. Maybe some team will pick him up.
Davante Adams, he could be your first wide receiver taken if Rodgers stays in Green Bay. If not, right. How far down does he fall? I assume it's going to be Jordan Love. You know, how far down does he fall? I probably wouldn't want him because I think people will still pay a higher price than I'm willing to pay for Davante Adams without Aaron Rodgers. This is not a knock on Adams, by the way. He's a great wide receiver, but I don't trust Jordan Love whatsoever. We saw him a little bit this year. Wasn't very good. So we'll see there. Beckham, he won't be back with the Rams next year. I don't see them being able to fit him under the cap. Now he's going to get a monster deal, but he'll get a decent-sized free agent deal here. I think he'll have to move on here. So where's he going to end up? Sort of need to know that. Right, what quarterback is he going to be? If you can make a trade now, you mentioned it. Not only got to worry about getting through the Super Bowl without an injury, but where's he going to end up? I don't really know. Mm-hmm. You know, could be any one of a number of teams here. I can guarantee you it won't be Cleveland. That's about all I can tell you. Probably won't be for Giants either, for that matter. Tyler Boyd, he's certainly the third string guy there. It's a shame, right? Because he was really good for a couple of years. And then Higgins comes along. Chase comes along. And you're third string there, buddy. Even Higgins gets hurt by how much love goes to Burrow and Chase there. So tough to judge him there. Harry, I want nothing to do with it. If I could get him for anything, a Pepsi, I would trade N'Keal Harry for. I don't see it working out for him. I just don't. And Marvin Jones, you're right. Where's he going to end up? He's a good veteran wide receiver. Probably a better NFL wide receiver than fantasy one, but he can help your team here as far as a low-end guy here. If I could get him for nothing, I'd take him.
Yeah, I mean, that's just – it's a matter of which direction Jacksonville goes. We'll get some clarity on that over the next couple of days when they name their new head coach, and that seems to be taking more time than we thought, too. Okay, over at tight end, we have Dalton Schultz coming off another great year for the Dallas Cowboys. Jared Cook will be on a new team for sure. I don't know where. It feels like he's on a new team every year. Jonnu Smith, I'm not sure of his contract situation with New England, but he was underused. And then the painful conversation to try and have here. Oof, I mean, could you sell Travis Kelce's value here, George? I mean, we know Travis Kelce probably has another great year or two in him, but you and I both know that there are very few guys out there like Antonio Gates who just kept playing at that high level at tight end for 10, 15 years. Usually the tight end position is sort of like running back because when it ends, it just ends.
It ends quickly. It ends quickly. And Kelce did, remember, he got hurt, during the middle of the year, and he didn't have for about a month, he was blah. Right, he was really kind of blah there, not the Travis Kelce that came along late to really help out there, although it may have been too late for your fantasy team if you lost in week one. So Kelce, I think the biggest question is, are we going to have the same talk we had this year about taking Kelce in round one? Because he gives you such a big advantage over every other team because of the numbers he's going to have. I generally can't do it, so I don't see that happening. Kelce, I wouldn't mind happening, but it's more round two, round three for me. I'm not going to go first round pick on Kelce. Dalton Schultz, another free agent. Where does he end up? Will Dallas use a franchise tag on him? I doubt it. Dallas has salary cap issues. I don't think they'll franchise and they'll go with Blake Jarwin and maybe a draft pick at tight end there. You're right about Jared Cook. You know, he's going to continue his nomad. Wherever he ends up with, that's where he'll be. And he'll be someone, he won't be in your top 12, but he'll be your first injury replacement when you need somebody. That's what Jared Cook is. So a tight end is always that mixed bag, all right? You got Kelce, you got Andrews, you got Kittle, Waller will be heavy. And then after that, it's like everybody else, let's see where they land here. Let's see what we can do.
Yep, definitely so. Tight end's a tough position to quantify, no doubt. Guys get older, and it just ends. And you have to try and predict when that's going to happen. It's almost impossible. All right, here's another impossible task. Fantasy or reality? We'll have that for you coming up next right here on Sports Grid. Don't go away. Great.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. We've got Fantasy Reality coming up. Buffalo Bills make the announcement official today, just about 10 minutes ago, George. Their new offensive coordinator is former quarterbacks coach Ken Dorsey. When you hear the name Ken Dorsey, what do you think of? Because I'll tell you what I think of. But go ahead, tell me what you think of. Ken Dorsey.
When I think of Ken Dorsey, I don't know if anything really truly comes to mind here as far as, oh, my God, Ken Dorsey one way or the other. So I will punt this back to you. Nothing really staggering one way or the other comes to mind for me.
Okay. Well, when I think of Ken Dorsey, I think, George, of one of the greatest college quarterbacks of all time at the University of Miami. I covered him when he was with Miami. I was at a national championship game where he was the quarterback. I was also at a national championship game that they lost when he was the quarterback. And do yourself a favor, and I know the talent was incredible at UM, but Google some of those numbers, George, with him at the University of Miami and a member of the Hurricanes. Obviously did not have a great career in the NFL, played with Cleveland for a bit, played with the 49ers for a bit, but what an amazing career that just shows that even if you don't make it as a player, there's always room for you. And I think that Dorsey is going to be a head coach in the NFL before long. So something to keep an eye on in the future. All right, that's what I think. Let's turn it over to Brett Levy, Fantasy or Reality time.
All right, guys. So today for Fantasy or Reality, we're starting off with a story that happened last night, because the NBA app launched their first test of the NBA's version of the NFL Red Zone channel. So, George, we'll start with you for this one. The NBA will have a permanent Red Zone channel. Is this a fantasy or reality?
Yeah, I think you're going to see all the major sports are going to have something similar to the Red Zone channel. So, yeah, I think this is a reality because, once again, it's another way to get you to watch. Maybe this is more for the average fan who doesn't not a big fan of any one team or his team's not playing that night, but you're still going to watch because you're going to get coverage of all the games rather than have to go and maybe flip your remote going game to game to game. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a reality. Like I said, for all sports, they're going to do stuff like this. They're going to have new innovations here, new ways to get you to watch, to get you to be involved in the game. It's what they want. All right, it's what they all want here. I don't know how it's going to work. You know, the red zone for the NFL probably makes sense more than anything else. Okay, teams within a 20-yard line, let's go to that game. Let's go to a touchdown, go to that game. You're not going to see every basket. That would be ridiculous. All right, it's like 100 baskets a game. It doesn't make any sense here. Or every three-pointer. But they give you, I guess, big plays or when the game comes down to the wire here, stuff like that. So, yeah. I think the NBA will have a permanent red zone. I don't know what they're going to call it. It's not really red zone, but they're going to have a permanent channel dedicated to going to what's important to the NBA that night. What's going on? You know, in the beginning of the games, you know, where's LeBron playing? You know, where's the superstar playing? What, you know, I expect them to have some kind of channel like this. I do. Once again, it's the future of sports.
Yeah. And look, you have so many games that start at the same time, George, 7:30 Eastern, 8 o'clock Eastern. They're all playing in the fourth quarter at the same time. You want to be able to get updates on that. So, yeah, quite frankly, it's surprising that these don't exist already. I know Major League Baseball has something on MLB Network twice a week where they do their look-ins and they're constantly going around the league. But I think you're right, George. I think baseball is going to have something similar like this, too. It just depends on where we're going to see the baseball games, by the way. Is it going to be where we normally see them or on Apple TV? So keep an eye on that coming in the CBA, too, as well. So reality, NBA will have it. The Major League Baseball sort of has it already. And, of course, the NFL, it's all about having the games on at the same time. I mean, let's be honest. That's what the red zone is about. All the games are ending in the last 30 minutes of 3:30 Eastern. And so that's the best part of watching the red zone is that final 30 minutes to an hour. So, of course, Brett, this is a reality.
All right. Well, our next question, Craig, we're going over to the New York Mets because John Heyman yesterday said that the Mets might be spenders when the lockout ends here. They probably want to add another arm or another bat. So, Craig, we'll start with you. The Mets will spend significant money on free agents when the lockout ends. Craig, is this a fantasy or reality? And please say reality for all my hopes and dreams.
I mean, it feels like they've done quite a bit already that they really need to do some more. And I guess they certainly could. I'm going to say fantasy because I don't know the answer to it. So it's easier for me just to say no than it is to say yes. But I would tell you, George, the most fascinating part of the lockout lifting is going to be the fact that these Major League Baseball teams have been on Zooms and they've been in boardrooms and they've been talking and staring and looking at each other for the past 2 months with nothing else to do. And I wonder if a shift or a change will happen with some of these teams where they basically have reevaluated the first half of the baseball offseason. So I think we're going to be in for some huge surprises as soon as the lockout lifts, because let's be honest, these executives are bored. They have their plans. They want to do other things. They just haven't been able to do it. Frenzy? I don't know if that's the word for it. Do we ever see baseball with a frenzy? Not very likely. I guess this past year was the first time ever, the trade deadline and that right before the lockout. Yeah, I guess it was pretty crazy. Beyond that, nothing in baseball could ever be considered a frenzy. But I will say fantasy here. I think the Mets have done quite a bit, and I don't see them dropping another $100 million. I mean, if that's the barometer for it, I'm going to say fantasy.
Yeah, I think that's what we need. We need a definition here. What's your definition of significant? If it's $100 million, I'm right there with you. Aren't they already over what the tax we think it's going to be, around 215, 214? So I think they're already over that. Or are they going to be over with all the money they're going to start to give out to the players on the roster right now? Will they spend more money? Let's see here. You know, I think Cohen, we know he's got the cash, and we know he wants to win. All right, you bring on Buck Showalter, you know, you steal Alex Chavez from the Yankees for your hitting coach there. I think they want to win here. So I do think they're going to spend. I don't think they're done. That's where I'm going with this. I don't think it's $100 million they're going to spend. I don't. I've heard the rumors that they want to add another arm as well. What does that mean? Does it mean a bullpen arm for, you know, $5 million? Are we talking a starter here for $18 million? What are we talking about here? You know, I said that's very yeah, you can go a lot of ways with that term there. Another bat, once again, are we talking a bench bat? Are we talking a starting player here? You know, well, you're going to need to pony up some cash. So I think I need to know your definition here. If significant money is over $20 million, yeah, I think they're going to spend that. I do. If it's over $50 million, you said $100 million, I don't think they're spending over $50. I'll even go less than half that. So that'd be a fantasy for me. So it depends upon your definition of significant. And one thing, come on, Craig, it was fun. Before the lockout, with all the free agents that were signed, that week was great. I think we're going to see it again. I think we're going to see, unless they solve it this week. Let's say you're right. Let's just say Craig Mish is right, and it's solved right after the Super Bowl. The week of the Super Bowl, they solve it. Spring training should have already started then, so they're already behind that. Always free agents have to sign, get their physicals, get into camp here, make travel arrangements and all that. Not to mention if you're abroad, all the visas requirements you need here to get back here. So, yeah, I think it's going to go nuts again with a truckload of free agent signs in a 10-day span here, where we're going to have a blast on these shows. It's all we're going to be talking about. Is this guy signed with this guy signed with that guy? Brett Levy's going to be trying to text us during the show. Oh, this guy signed with him, you know, trying to let us know here. So I think it's going to be completely, at least I'm hoping. All right, I'm into baseball, man. I really want it to come back. So I'm hoping that's the case here. But to answer this question, I'm going to agree with Craig because of the word significant. I think the Mets over between 20 and 35 million is what I think they're going to spend. If that's significant to you, then it's reality, but not over 50, certainly not over 100.
Yeah, we never got a true definition of that from Brett. So if Brett, you'd care to define it, great. Otherwise, we can move on.
Yeah, sure. We'll say a significant amount of money is someone that, you know, is probably worth about $15 million a year was my thinking there.
Okay,
fair enough. Could be a one-year deal, but... you know, someone that puts the Mets over the hump, Craig. That's what I'm hoping for here. But our last question, and George, we'll start with you for this one. During the Rams game, a pretty funny incident occurred, and the celebrities, you know, made light of it. But Big Sean and his girlfriend were put on the Jumbotron there at the Rams game with the wrong celebrity couple names underneath. So, George, we'll start with you. Getting celebrities' names wrong on the Jumbotron is a fireable offense, especially in LA. Is this a fantasy or reality?
I think this is pretty funny, actually, that they screwed this up. You know, not only you get it wrong, but I don't know who either one of these people are. No idea. But I know he's not Sarah Michelle Gellar, all right? And he... All right, I know he's not, even if I do know who Sarah Michelle Gellar is, but even if I didn't know, I would know that's not his name. All right, I'd be asking questions. Is that really Sarah Michelle Gellar? You know, we do hear some weird names every now and then. So, yeah, who's ever double-checking this probably needs a talking to. I'm not going to thought. Not unless you've done it over and over again. You made the same mistake 3, 4, 5, 6 times. Yeah, okay, you might need to go. But I'm not going to over first offense? No. So I can't get rid of you for that. For me, this is kind of funny. I would hope the celebrity sort of has a laugh about it. I know probably not. They're probably, oh, you got my name wrong. They're all, you know, butthurt about all that and all. But like I said, to me, it's funny. And I see it on TV. I sort of let, and we see this a lot, by the way. It's not like it's the only time it's happened. Right? This happens quite, maybe often is not the right word, but certainly more than it really should have. Someone should be double checking this to make sure maybe a wrong button was hit, whatever. But I find it more humorous than anything else. No, even if I was your boss, I would say, listen, can we double check this, please? I don't want to see this happen again, especially if I'm hearing it. We all know the term, I can't say it, rolls downhill. So I'm getting yelled at, so you're going to get yelled at. That's the way it works here. So if I'm getting yelled at, yeah, I'm not thrilled about it. But no, I'm not firing you, not over one offense.
No, this is not a fireable offense. These mistakes happen all the time. I mean, I think I did a show here on Sports Grid maybe last year at some point. I was on and I was looking down. I'm like, that's not my name, like during the show, you know? So, you know, it happens. Mistakes like these happen and they're pretty funny. I think this is too. I think that the amount of celebrities, by the way, at the Super Bowl coming up next week, that's not something that I had considered. And as I'm thinking it through now, it's in Los Angeles. And my guess is we're going to see a lot of them next week. So more mistakes could potentially be made. I go to baseball games all the time, and it's not the easiest thing to do to run those jumbotrons with the names. These people in all likelihood are people that have no idea who these people are. So they're clueless when they're hitting the button, as you said, George, to put it on too. So not a fireable offense at all. Just a funny joke there. I wonder if Sarah Michelle Gellar and Freddie Prinze Jr. were actually at the game. I'm guessing they were, right? For them to have that font, that Chiron there, they have to have been at the game, right?
You would think, right? Why else would you have that? They must have been told they're at the game, and they just screwed it up. Like I said, wrong button was pressed. It happens. And at the Super Bowl, I would almost guarantee you we're going to get at least one wrong there. If there was a prop on FanDuel that said, well, there'd be a wrong, whatever we're going to call this, I'd be over it. Absolutely, someone's going to get something wrong, and I'll laugh at that too.
I agree. All right, with that being said, it is time for us to take our final time out here on the show. But a reminder that this coming Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern, you can catch me and George, along with Davis Maddock, Matt Stryker, and Joe Pizzapia for our 2021 Fantasy Football Awards show. It will air this Sunday, 8 a.m. Eastern, right here on Sports Grid. I hope you will catch it because we had a lot of fun doing it. Did a great job, I think, putting it together as well. So when we come back next, it's time for the Sports Grid 60 here on this Tuesday. And then we will wrap it up here on the show. On tomorrow's show, I'll have the day off, but my buddy Davis Maddock will be back in the house along with George. And then I'll be right back here with you guys again on Thursday. So stay on the grid as we take our final time out. I'll go ahead. Great.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we welcome you back here to Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. And before we go, we usually give you 60 seconds of deep thoughts. You never know what's going to be on the mind of George Kurtz. Let's find out. Here's his Sports Grid 60.
Well, what's on my mind is what will the Buccaneers do at quarterback now that Tom Brady is gone? Craig and I talked about this earlier. They're without a lot of pieces here. If Bruce Arians stays, he's not rebuilding. He doesn't have enough time for that. They're still going to try and compete. That division is weak. Carolina doesn't have a quarterback. New Orleans doesn't have a quarterback. Atlanta does, but really nothing else after that. I wonder if this is where Jimmy G could end up here. And I bring this up because we're going to hear a lot of talk about, oh, San Fran can't trade him to Tampa. It's in the conference. He could, you know, Tampa could face San Fran in the playoffs. I get that, but you trade him to where you get the best deal. All right, I'm not taking a lesser deal from, you know, somebody in the AFC, Pittsburgh, because I want to get him out of the conference here. It's Jimmy G. You're not really all that worried about him. Now, granted, if the deals were close, okay, then I'll trade him out of the conference. But other than that, I am making the best deal. Would I trade him in a division? All right, that's a different story here. But then again, are we really worried about Jimmy G beating us in a playoff game? No.
All right. Many years ago, I used to cover the WNBA team, the Miami Soul. They first came into existence and played at the American Airlines Arena, and they quickly went away. And at that time, I wondered, will the WNBA survive? It feels like teams are collapsing. Boy, was I wrong. They're going strong. And not only that, but congratulations. Let me be the first or the second or the 10th to congratulate Becky Hammon of the Las Vegas team. She left the San Antonio Spurs and her new annual salary to be the head coach in Las Vegas. Over $1 million. Definitely a huge statement by the WNBA, and glad to see that it's been going strong for as many years as it has. That will do it for our show here today. Thank you, of course, to LTN for keeping us and getting us on the air as they do all day long. Thank you, of course, to Danny in our graphics department and Brett Levy, our producer here on the show as well. For George Kurtz, I'm Craig Mish. I hope you have a great rest of your Tuesday. We'll see you tomorrow right here at noon on SportsGrid. Break, break.